Engage. Out of the park.
The NSR Media Network presents Out of the Park with Barry Davis, brought to you by aglaw.ca, Foundation Physiotherapy, The Jaywalk, and Timothy's Pub. This week, former Raptors coach Butch Carter tells us exactly how he feels.
If you were born in the 50s or 60s and your parents were racist, you were raised as a racist.
Yep.
Those people are running and controlling hockey.
Out of the Park is pleased to be joined by Butch Carter alongside your host, Barry Davis.
Well, folks, we have a very serious and very intense edition of Out of the Park this week. As you heard off the top, we'll be joined by former Raptors head coach Butch Carter, who played under Bobby Knight as a college player in Indiana and experienced racism like you would never believe. He will tell us what that was like. We'll get his opinion on the Bill Peters situation. We'll also talk to him about Mike Babcock and the reputation he has. How did Butch Carter manage personalities when he coached the Toronto Raptors? How did he know where the line was as far as motivating players and insulting players and physically hurting players, like we see as these stories have come out? Butch will be very, very open and very candid about his thoughts about not only racism within the hockey world in sports, but in society in general, even here in Canada, where he has lived for many, many years. So stay tuned for a very big episode of Out of the Park. We'll also have our Fair or Foul poll. And up next, Matt and myself will weigh in on what has been a crazy last couple of weeks in the world of sports. There's Matt. I'm Barry. You're listening to Out of the Park.
Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, The First Pitch with Barry Davis.
The First Pitch is brought to you by The Jaywalk, and I'm sure Julia has had a very busy last few days.
Have you seen these mystery boxes things that she was talking about? That's pretty cool stuff.
You know, the Black Friday thing is very exciting, and for people like myself who do not like to be around crowded people in a mall, right? I have to tell you, the idea of online shopping is perfect. And that's what you do with the Jaywalk.
Yeah.
You go to thejaywalk.com, you pick up whatever it is you're looking for, and no crowds.
How much of your Christmas shopping is now done online?
Oh, wow. I'd say 50-50.
Yeah.
I would say 50-50 now.
Mine's like 90%.
Really?
Yeah.
See, there are certain things I cannot buy online.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, shoes for me are tough.
Yeah. Never think of, I need to wear them.
Yep.
Right. Agreed. I purchased clothes. The problem is, and I bought a jacket recently for one of the new bands, doing the Cars tribute.
You got it.
And it was cheap, really, really cheap.
Yeah.
And of course it arrived and it looked a lot nicer in the picture than when I got it. Right. And the other thing was, I guessed, my size, small, medium, large, extra large. I'm usually a medium. And I'm like, squeeze into tight, put it on. So there are those issues. And yeah, you could send it back, but then you got to wait all that time.
Yep.
I think the smart thing are those that have the Amazon Prime.
It's great.
And you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. And this is like, I cannot believe this. And it was actually Michelle and Bill Harris that informed me this on The Spin on Thursday. So my son has Amazon Prime. He orders things all the time.
Yeah.
Loves the fact that he can get his packages within a couple of days. What he did not tell us is that when you have Amazon Prime, you automatically get the streaming service.
We have it.
I had no idea.
Yep, we have it.
So now all I need to do is tell him to log into our smart TV.
You get it. And you know what? There's a lot of stuff that used to be on Netflix.
I know.
That's now on Amazon Prime.
And I'm looking forward to Veep more than anything.
Yeah. Well, that's on there.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of stuff for my kids. Now, my kids are all hopped up on Disney Plus right now.
Oh, so you have that one too?
I'm borrowing somebody's password to see
if it's true.
That's okay. Well, I want to see if we're going to use it.
Okay.
Right?
Call it a trial.
And if we're going to use it, then I have no problem getting it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. As long as it's just like a trial thing.
Yeah. No. I want to make sure that we're going to use this thing.
That makes sense. Right?
I'm thinking about getting rid of cable.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it weren't for live sports, I could do without cable. Now, I could use basic cable because there are a few things that we watch on basic cable, some network shows, but I mean, that's all you need. It's basic.
I went and did the math on this. And so if you went and get Center Ice, MLB TV, and if we had Netflix as well as Disney Plus, let's say, and Amazon Prime, it costs me $45 a month. Okay?
You want to know what I'm paying for cable?
So my cable right now is $100
Yeah.
A month. So there you go.
Mine's probably more than that because we have, you know, the time shifting and all that kind of stuff. And of course, there's like, you can't just pick the channels you want.
No. And this is why, in some ways, I'm thinking about getting rid of cable. Because the only reasons that we turn on the TV or that I turn on the TV now is for sports,
yep.
The weather network, which you can get on your phone. And then the rest of it is YouTube, Netflix, Disney Plus, and Amazon Video.
Yeah. And I know so many people that are doing it. And it's really changed. And the thing is, right now, you know, well, 2-3 years ago, I said out loud, maybe even on this show, the only thing that's keeping cable going is you can't watch live sports on the streaming services.
Yes.
Guess what? Facebook and YouTube are now starting to show sports. I have a hunch, Matthew,
yes,
that within the next 5 years, Rogers and Bell better find something else to...
They're going to get involved in streaming.
Right? But the thing is, they're going to be late to the party.
Well, what I would love to see them do is listen. Make it like an app. This channel costs this much.
Mm-hmm.
Just build your own. Right? The Weather Network, a month.
Yeah, but the thing is, you do that, okay? The problem is you can get a hell of a lot more for $9-$10 a month on a streaming service.
I agree.
You get more than the Weather Network.
Yep.
Right? So, listen, let's face it. The way cable companies are operating now with live TV, or, you know, I say live, but you know what I'm talking
yep.
about.
You
know, this is dying fast. And I don't know if the cable companies are as prepared for this, because I think that they're still counting on the fact that, well, radio's still alive. Well, the thing is, there's very little. I mean, radio may be still alive, but it's things like podcasts, like what we do, that a lot of people are listening to in their cars now.
Yep.
Right? The only place people listen to radio, really, is in their car.
Yeah. I agree.
Right?
Absolutely.
If I'm home, I'm not, I don't put on the radio. And I honestly, I know maybe some people do, but I don't listen to podcasts when I'm home either.
I do.
Any of my listening is done.
In the car?
In the car.
No, I have podcasts on all day.
Doing what?
Listening.
But what are you doing while you're listening?
Doing something else, housework, whatever, paperwork.
Yeah, you know what? I may have done that a few times.
Yeah, I have.
A few times here and there.
Constantly.
But what may have to happen, well, the thing is, I think they're counting on the older generation, right?
Yeah.
My mom's 87.
Yep.
She needs her cable. She's not going to use
for sure.
a streaming service.
Well, even newspaper.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
When is that?
But within the next 15, 20 years, when pretty much everyone on this planet will have some idea of how to work the internet, right? Everyone will be digital.
Yep.
By that time.
Yep.
And if Rogers and Bell haven't figured it out by then, how to change their services and make it a streaming service and lower the prices and say, we'll give you all this for $20 a month instead of $100 a month.
Yeah.
Because they're losing customers. Same thing happened with home phones. I don't have a home phone anymore.
It's gone. And about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're done. Yeah.
Again, my mother, she needs her home phone. Trying to get her to use a cell phone or an iPhone or any kind of smartphone was just useless. I mean, the closest we got was a flip phone.
I think it's wild that my dad sends me texts. He's 63 years old, man.
No,
66 years old. He sends me texts.
It is so funny because I got a phone message today. And again, nobody leaves messages, right?
Yeah.
People call. If you're not there, they hang up. Or they don't even call. They'll text.
Yeah.
I'd say 85% of my calls are from telemarketers.
Okay.
Right? Or scams.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm wanted by the IRS, all that kind of stuff.
Constantly, by
right.
the way.
Yes, it is very constant. But I received a message on my phone, and it's from a potential guest to have on The Spin. And he said to me, can you call me back because I don't know how to text? He goes, I'm 70 years old. I don't know how to text. And yeah. And, but that's the thing. A lot of people don't know how to text.
Yeah.
That are of a certain age.
Yeah.
But see, we were young enough that when the change happened, we were able to adapt, right? There were people probably 40 years ago that were in their 60s that could not, that did not want to learn the metric system and refused to learn the metric system.
I don't, when I was in contracting, we used Imperial.
Well, I think we do still for certain things. Like, look, it's almost 2020 and we never say I'm so many centimeters.
No, right? God, no.
Right? We still talk feet.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, my wife, in her industry, she's in interior design. It's metric.
Really?
Yep.
They use, you know, metric. The interesting thing is that even in the United States, the illegal drug dealers always used...
It's grams.
Grams.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cartel was into grams long before anyone else was. So, but my point was that whenever there's a major change in the way we do things, the majority of people between this age and this age will adapt.
Yes.
Right? I mean, our kids are growing up having no idea what life is like without the internet.
Agreed.
Right? They've never lived without it.
Yeah. They are... The concept of not having everything available to you immediately,
yeah,
is completely alien.
I was alive when ATMs were invented.
Yes.
Well, before ATMs were invented,
you had to go to the bank.
You had to go to the bank.
Yeah.
Or you wrote a check.
Yep.
You know?
Yes, you did.
So things have really, really changed. And I think the time's going to come in our life where a change is going to come and we're just not going to be ready for it.
No.
As we get older. And I'm talking about our generation.
Yeah, man, get off my lawn. Hey, cool.
I already talked about that.
This is the first pitch, by the way.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. And here's the thing. We have no questions for Ask Barry Davis. And it's actually a first.
Yeah.
We've been doing this show now for, it'll be 3 years in March.
Yeah.
We have always had questions from listeners. Tons and tons of questions. So many that you'd have to vet through them and decide which ones were worthy of being asked.
Yes.
And we were answering questions. Most of the questions, of course, are about the Blue Jays.
Yes.
But we answer personal questions. We'll ask, hockey questions, baseball questions, music questions. Now, we still have a few people that are quite regular to sending questions.
Yes.
But when you take the percentage of people that listen to the show and the percentage of questions that come in, it's probably not a good ratio.
No.
I hope the amount of questions we are receiving lately does not directly reflect the amount of people that are listening to the show.
Yes. Right?
So here's the deal. If you're listening to the show, if you enjoy the show, if you want to get interactive, send a question along.
I agree.
Right?
Yep.
It's easy. Matt, like you usually do this in the Ask Barry Davis segment,
yeah.
So tell people how.
It's pretty simple. Visit nsrmedia.ca. Use the Ask Barry Davis tab at the top. Directs you how to do it. If you're on Twitter, use the Ask Barry Davis hashtag. That lets me see it easier.
Okay.
That's it.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Now we shall get to the first pitch.
Oh, right. Right then.
And there is just a whole bunch to digest over what has happened over the last week. And first of all, the bullying that went on between Mike Babcock and certain players. And it's really interesting because if you ask former players, and I say former players because they're a little bit older, they'll say, well, I've never quite heard that one before, but I've been called this, I've been told that. Brian Drolleman on The Spin this week talked about how there was a coach, and he never experienced it personally, but there was a coach that he had that told a teammate of his, you're the laziest person I've ever seen. You'll never amount to anything in life. Like things like that.
Whoa.
Right?
Okay.
So, but it was so matter of fact. Did you see the comment from Rod Brind'Amour?
Yes. Yeah.
And it was just so, it happened. Yeah. He apologized. It's over. It's almost like, that stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Well, and then the current owner of the Carolina Hurricanes comes out and said, listen, if I was around then and I heard that, he'd be fired immediately.
Right.
Well, that's pretty convenient to say now after the fact. But
right.
But we're getting into this. What is the difference between a new school coach and an old school coach? Because if an old school coach involved dropping the N-word, if an old school coach involved smacking a player in the back of the head or kicking a player in the back on the bench,
or demeaning him as a human being,
if an old school coach meant that you were able to bring a rookie player to tears,
yeah,
then who would ever want to have the title of old school coach? That's disgusting.
But the thing is, when you hear, whether it be a guy like Jason Spezza even, I mean, he pushed it off as being, yeah, that's just the way, you know. I had a lot of coaches that were really hard on me, and I'm really glad they were, because I needed that kick in the butt, right? I mean,
but there's a difference between being hard and being malicious and vindictive.
I agree.
Because what Babcock did to Mitch Marner, and we don't even have to use the caveat or the precursor, allegedly, he did it.
Yes.
He admitted that he did it. Mm-hmm. What he did to Mitch Marner is not being an old school coach, and it isn't being hard on him.
It's being an asshole.
It's being an asshole. That's exactly what it's being.
And again, I think that somewhere along time, the coaches or managers in professional sports felt that they were above the players, that they were the teachers, the players were the students. You listen to me, you do what I say. If you don't work hard, I need to kick your ass, either figuratively or physically, to get you to do what I need you to do.
Yes.
We don't want you to, you know, because you're not self-motivating.
Yeah.
And the thing is, so over time, I think players, professional players, became a little bit more self-motivating. And I think what we realized through time is that a manager like a Joe Maddon, who was strict when he had to be, but also stepped back and allowed the players to be adults, which they are. But John Gibbons is the same way.
But what I don't understand about this is when it comes to talking about laziness, when it comes to talking about not being prepared, look, if you're a professional athlete, this is a 12-month-a-year endeavor.
Sure.
You're no longer showing up to training camp to get into shape, right? So let's look at a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who by all accounts is crushing it this offseason. Mm-hmm. Now, would you have called this person lazy or underprepared last year? Would you? Is that what you would have called him?
No. I would have seen that.
Because he would have been putting in work, and fortunately for him, he has God-given talents. But the notion of laziness now in sports doesn't really make much sense to me, in that these players all have to work out 12 months of the year just to hope to stay
maintained
on par with their mm-hmm. peers. Like, you look at a guy like Phil Kessel, that guy's just got God-given talent. Imagine if that guy actually dove headfirst into the work in the offseason. He'd be a freak show.
And the thing is, we look at Phil Kessel, compare him to the other players, and think he's out of shape. But I tell you what, he's in a hell of a lot better shape than either of us are.
I completely agree.
You know what I'm
saying? Totally agree. But for a hockey player, he's probably not nearly in the shape that Sidney Crosby is in.
Here's the thing. What Mike Babcock did was you know, disgusting and wrong.
Yep.
But I think that there still is a place for coaches to be hard on their players.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Because I will tell you, being the father of a millennial, they are not the most self-motivated, okay? Sometimes they need a push.
Yes.
But there are ways to do it without belittling.
Yep.
And just because it was done a certain way for so many years,
yep,
doesn't mean it was right. It means we were more stupid 40 years ago than we are now.
Yes.
Right? We're smarter now. So we know that doing some of those things, especially physically, are wrong. That belittling a human being is wrong. Pushing someone, you know, anyone that goes to a personal trainer will know that, you know, your personal trainers will push you.
Yeah. But they're not there to do it in such a way that is belittling you, is making you, because that's supposed to be about positivity.
Right. The thing is, you ask anyone who's been in service, they'll probably tell you what Mike Babcock did was like nothing.
Yeah. Oh,
right.
We're talking about like military service.
Yeah. But the thing is, they're being trained to go on the front line and point a gun at somebody and have a gun pointed at their head.
And they're being trained to, if necessary, you have to take a human life.
Yes. So it's different.
It is different.
Sports are not about taking human lives.
No, they're not.
Right?
They're absolutely
and
not.
And the thing is, the problem is that the more money that we're talking about in the world of sports, the more the pressure is on for them to perform.
Yes.
Right? So when that pressure is on for them to perform, all of a sudden coaches find that they may have to step it up a notch.
Yep.
And as much as we call this old school, I really am curious to know how many coaches still do this in the NHL, in the NBA.
Well, is it look at an age bracket? Like would Bruce Boudreau of the Minnesota Wild would start naming
Randy Carlyle,
right? Theo Epstein,
Ron Wilson,
right?
Epstein is a young GM.
Okay,
you talking about somebody else?
But what I'm saying is, guys of that ilk that would be of that age. No, not Theo Epstein. Who's the guy? Joe Maddon. Yeah. Right? Yeah, Joe Maddon. Would he be an old school coach? Would he be a guy? Well,
the one thing I've told you, and this is the one thing about Joe Maddon, and there's when he was in Tampa Bay, there were signs in the clubhouse, and they were all things about being an adult, making decisions on your own, taking responsibility, you know, and not. He didn't want to be a micromanager with these players.
Right.
Right? Right.
Okay.
He would step in when he had to. And the thing is, he treated them like adults. And guess what? They acted like adults. So there's where your fine line is. You can be tough without treating them like children.
Yeah.
Without treating them like they are ants. Right? If you treat the players like they're adults, then the hope is... Now, is that to say that every player in the dressing room or clubhouse is going to be self-motivated and be able to do it? Probably not. But the majority of them will. And the thing is, let their peers be the ones that will look at them and say, dude, you need to step it up. We're all putting our effort out. You need to step it up.
Is Austin Matthews the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs if Mike Babcock is fired before the season starts?
I don't think so. I think it had more to do with him pulling his pants down.
Okay.
Right? I mean...
I'm just saying, because you know that Babcock had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Right?
But so did Brendan Shanahan. Right? And this we talked about this on Extra, I think, briefly.
Yeah.
The fact that, where's Brendan Shanahan through all this?
Well, he's on a plane flying to Arizona to fire Mike Babcock. That was weird.
Yeah.
That was weird. But the thing is, you can't have a 30-year-old kid fire you. You have to have Brendan Shanahan come in and do it.
Again, anything that Mike Babcock did, you have to look at Brendan Shanahan and say, Brendan knew this. He knew what Mike Babcock was. Coached him for many years in Detroit. He knows exactly what Mike Babcock is all about.
Yep.
So he should be taking some responsibility for this too.
I agree.
Okay. We move from one scummy coach to another scummy coach.
Oh, goodness. Really?
And
Bill Peters,
you know, I heard an interview with Georges Laroque on Thursday.
Big scary dude.
And one thing that Georges Laroque said, because the person doing the interview with him said he apologized. Now, the fact that he apologized for something that happened 10 years ago, can you not maybe think that he's changed and that was how he used to be and he's not like that anymore? And Georges Laroque said, if you call somebody an idiot or do something like, then I can understand. But using the N-word is something only done by a racist. So no, again, who am I to judge? But that is what Georges Laroque said. I always like to try to find the positive in people and hope, that, maybe Peters has turned over a new leaf. But the problem is he was never, never reprimanded or he never faced the consequences for what he did.
Right. Well,
regardless of how he is now,
right.
He said something that was extremely racist.
And inappropriate.
He should have been fired right on the spot then, and he wasn't.
But did any of the players then report it?
No.
See, this is part of the problem too, right? Because it's incumbent upon the players surrounding Akeem Alou to be like, whoa, 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 that's not flying. We can't do that. But what it was is a bunch of young kids playing in AAA, thinking that if they go against the coach here, my shot's over.
Yeah.
And the coach knows this. That's precisely why he felt like he was able to do it. Because he knows that if any of these kids step up, guess what? Your ass is stapled to the bench.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's terrible that it has to be like that. Right? Now, the other thing too is this. Look, you spend a lot of time in professional athletics, whether it be clubhouses or dressing rooms, right?
Yep.
The F word, not the for unlawful carnal knowledge, the other F word.
Yeah.
The homophobic slur.
Oh, that one. Okay, yeah.
Okay. That word gets tossed around, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You might have heard that word once or twice?
Yeah.
In dressing rooms?
Many, 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 many times.
Okay. If a player says that on the field of play or on the ice and tries to come out with the, I never use this word, it's probably a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because that word gets used, you've heard it, that word gets used in dressing rooms and clubhouses.
All the time.
If somebody comes out and uses the N-word and then tries the, oh, I really never use that word, lies.
See, okay, if you're going to think, like if we're going to use that as an example, then how do we forgive Kevin Pillar?
Kevin Pillar said it.
Yeah.
Right.
But to say it, you know, I don't normally talk like that. It just slips out, blah, 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 right?
Right. But did he say that?
Yeah, remember at the time?
Okay. Because if he said that, then
see, that was
maybe somebody should have called him on that because you know that word gets tossed around in the dressing room.
And the thing is, if you use that word, even accidentally, it's in your vernacular.
It's there. Right. That's what I'm saying the N-word.
The N-word is never going to accidentally slip out.
No. It's not going to slip out.
Not for me.
No, it doesn't. That word is, it's in your palette. It's in your toolbox of words.
Yeah.
If it makes it out in public, it's in your toolbox of words. The other thing too is how brazen is this guy that he feels like it's well within his rights to say that in a public situation like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like this has got to be tossed around at home, or his father might have used it or whatever.
Yeah.
But this has got to be something that's tossed around frequently.
Yeah. So that's the thing. For him to say, Bill Peters to say it was an isolated incident, I find that hard to believe.
Me too.
You know what I mean?
I absolutely do.
I can't believe that that's the only time.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying is that if it's happened once here with him, there's got to be cases where this has popped up again.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to hear about those cases because there's too many young kids that are worried about getting their shot.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about
I like this, by the way.
Yeah.
I like this.
Let's talk a little bit about a couple of statements that were released over the last couple of days. First one comes from Bill Peters.
Okay. Oh boy.
Saying, I know that my comments have been the source of both anger and disappointment, and I understand why. Although it was an isolated incident, an immediately regrettable incident, I take responsibility for what I said. The statement was made in a moment of frustration and does not reflect my personal values. After the incident, I was rightfully challenged about my use of the language, and I immediately returned to the dressing room to apologize to the team. I have regretted the incident since it happened, and now I also apologize to anyone negatively affected by my words. I am aware that there is no excuse for language that is offensive. I meant no disrespect in what I said, and it was not directed at anyone in particular. Okay, that's all I want to read of that. Because there's just a whole lot of hooey there. Right?
Did you just say
hooey? Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Akeem Alou released a statement which was nowhere near as long.
Yeah.
Saying, I have read the statement of Bill Peters, which I found to be misleading, insincere, and concerning. I have accepted an invitation from the NHL to meet and discuss this situation. Out of respect for the process, I will not respond publicly to that statement or discuss the racism and discrimination that I have endured until after my meeting. So, not surprisingly, Alou thought this apology was complete BS. A few things. First, of course, he said it was an isolated incident.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
He said, I meant no disrespect in what I said. How in the world can you use the N-word with anything but disrespect? How in God's name could you respectfully have used the N-word while yelling at a black player? How is this possible?
Yes. It's completely asinine. That is the part that is just... How did you mean no disrespect?
And not directed at anybody in particular.
Well,
so what, he was talking to the, you know, the 15 white kids on the team?
No.
No.
I know.
No, he wasn't.
I know. I absolutely, I understand, man. I completely, this is...
How is he still employed?
Yeah.
Honest to God. You know, say what you
now,
want
hold on.
About
whoa,
the
whoa, whoa, whoa. But at the time of recording, let's be plain here.
Yeah, he may be fired by now.
At the time of recording, this guy's still employed.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I'm in no way making light of this, okay? But let them do their investigation.
What's there to investigate?
I don't know.
No, like,
there's a reason why this guy is still employed.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, let them do.
Because the NHL does not want to have this cloud over them.
Yeah.
I mean, can you think of one thing, Matt? One thing there is to investigate?
The number of instances?
It's just going to make it worse then, right?
Yeah, I guess.
He should be fired on the spot for the one incident. You know, he may be fired in a day, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
But I guess you're saying that this goes on.
Yes. Listen, he should have been fired when he said it 9 years ago.
Right.
He wasn't.
No.
He should have been fired when this story became public. And if they wanted to, the only thing you need to investigate is Akeem Alou telling the truth?
And he is.
Well, guess what? Many have corroborated that story.
Yep.
It is true.
Yep.
Fire him. Get his ass out of there.
I agree.
If I was a current player on the Calgary Flames, I don't know how I could play for this guy.
Well, and players need to be coming out and going, listen.
I'm not standing for this.
Yeah, I'm not playing.
Yeah.
I'm done. Like, unless this guy's out of here, I'm not playing.
My concern, though, Matt, is that as much as we like to think that racism is not as big of an issue as it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, and maybe in some ways it's not, it's still there.
Yep.
And there's still a lot of hate in this world and a lot of prejudice in this world.
Yep.
And it's sad. It really is that still exists as bad as it is today, because I grew up never thinking about the color of one's skin.
No.
People are people.
No.
Right?
I agree.
There's good white people and there are a-holes white people. Goes for any race.
Yep.
It never had anything to do with the color of the skin for me.
Nope.
We had Hal Johnson on The Spin.
Okay.
On Wednesday. Hal Johnson, I think one parent black, one parent white.
Yep.
But he... To people, when he went to school, he was a black kid. He was always, you know, known as the black kid.
Yeah.
One black kid in his school. He said he heard that N-word numerous times. He said that he had it when he played professional baseball. Got it a lot. It was something, he said, when he first pitched body break, I think it was to TSN, that they said something along the lines of, we don't feel comfortable having you and Joanne on the set at the same time on the show to have a black person and a white person. If we find someone who's white to do your part, would that be okay? And that was when he said, screw this. And he went and hooked up with the participation folks.
Oh my God.
So, you know, that was in the 80s. It was a while ago.
Oh my
God. But
as we're
seeing south of the border with the president of the country there.
Yeah.
Racism is alive and well.
No, I know.
Right?
But that's disgusting to me. And now, granted, though, that was, I wouldn't say the norm, but that happened years ago.
Yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Think about when the first Dominican players came into the majors.
Yeah. Hey,
listen. The crap that they must have gone through.
I grew up in the 70s, and back then, when I was going to school, there may have been one Indian kid in my class.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the P word was used a lot from kids.
Okay.
It was, I heard that word more than the N word growing up.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I don't hear that word anymore.
No.
But I'm sure there's still people that use that word.
Oh, I would imagine constantly.
Right.
For sure.
You know, so it's, well, it's rather disturbing. And when we come back, we're going to hear some more disturbing things as we talk to a gentleman who has experienced racism firsthand. Butch Carter, who was coached in Indiana by Bobby Knight and heard it all. A man who was coached in the NBA. We're going to get his take on coaching styles. We're going to get his take on the Bill Peters situation. And we'll get Butch to share some of what he has had to go through in his younger days as a player. Former Raptors coach Butch Carter weighs in on this very serious topic. Next, there's Matt. I'm Barry. You're listening to Out of the Park.
And now, In the Dugout with Barry Davis.
In the Dugout is brought to you by Timothy's. It's Etobicoke's friendly neighborhood meeting place and live entertainment destination. And boy, is it ever a great place to watch your live music, of course. So we ain't petty. I've been there many, many, many times. But they've got some great things coming up in the month of December as well. So make sure that you check out Timothy's Pub. You can always check out Marshall Dane. He's got a regular gig there. You can see him most months. Also coming up in the month of December, you have the opportunity to see a band called Brave and Crazy. You've got Tom Barlow. You have another band called Taunted by Girls. And every Saturday afternoon, their house band, The Meteors, plays. These guys are fantastic as well. Check their dates because they are going to be open on certain days during the holidays, and they're going to be closed certain days during the holidays as well. Live music 6 days a week. At Timothy's Pub, the best food you can eat in that area. We're talking incredible wings, incredible burgers, just amazing food, and a great place to check out live music at Timothy's Pub. Make sure you check them out. They are in Etobicoke on Brown's Line, just south of the QEW. Great place to go. All right, it is time now for us to, well, not really go in the dugout. We're kind of going on the bench because today, joining us here on Out of the Park is former Toronto Raptors head coach Butch Carter. And unlike some of our other conversations, we are going to talk about what Matt and I had been talking about over the last half hour of the show. And that is the mess that has been ongoing through hockey. And I'm sure it transcends into other sports with coaching techniques. Well, Butch, as a guy who has spent so many years coaching and being coached when you were a player, what are you making of all this stuff that is coming out in the world of hockey from the Mike Babcock situation to the Bill Peters situation? It just seems that there's been a lot of negative publicity going around. What's your initial reaction to some of this stuff?
I wouldn't call it negative publicity. Every sporting industry has to rectify the wrongs that have been done prior. Babcock, a really good coach. I think that the Maple Leafs were very unlucky in the draft. They drafted three players that neither one of them of the three seemed to be an alpha. That has put them behind the eight ball, that a team purposely goes backward. Matthews is not the alpha male that they thought they were getting. He is what he is unless there's some huge change in his personality and deliverable. They are going to be maybe a 6, 7, or 8 playoff team for the near future. Babcock, the only mistake he made, you just don't ask one player to evaluate his teammates and then discuss it openly with the team. It makes the player who did the evaluation seem like a traitor. He's one of your better players, but again, you know, he's not a great player. He's a very good player. And he put Mitch in a very bad spot. And from that day on, I think it's been all downhill. So on the trust issue. The issues around Peters, hockey has to eventually deal with the racism that permeates itself inside of hockey in the minor league level. They know it's there. They have done nothing about it. If you look at just how long, once Peters said that it actually happened and he's not been terminated yet, because they own the teams, they own the arenas, they can do what they want. But as an outsider, someone who's participated in sports as an athlete of African-American descent, it should be unacceptable. But the fact that they haven't terminated Peters yet shows that there is tolerance for it within the leadership of hockey. And, you know, in my opinion, as a, you know, I've been up here in Canada 23 years now, hockey has the foundations of what the Southeastern Conference used to have. It took forever to properly integrate the Southeast Conference. Social media has helped eliminate most forms of racism in the greatest football conference in the United States. And that has not happened in hockey. This is a time in which people who have these incidents, I just looked at interviews from the two players on the New Jersey Devils. PJ, he kicked the can and punted it for later. But he's safe because he's got a hockey family. Hockey's been very good to him. But the reality is that he can't be a coward about representing the people that things have been done wrong to them. I expected more from him. But this is one issue historically that the Bill Russells, the Jim Browns, the Tiger Woods, that guys have put their careers online to correct what is fundamentally a human rights issue. And hockey is still way behind.
Butch, it's almost 2020 now. How disappointing is it that we're still where we're at right now with racism?
Okay, let's look at how things work. So if you were born in the 50s or 60s and your parents were racist, you were raised as a racist.
Yep.
Those people are running and controlling hockey.
It's pretty, it's pretty simple.
It's not complicated. All right. Normally it takes three generations to correct an issue of human rights. But you know, the way I've always looked at it is, you know, if your parents, if you were born in the 50s or 60s and your parents were racist, that racism will flow right down because they have control of your life. You hear and say racism is a learned, it's not something you're born with. It is something that someone teaches you. They teach it to you and you learn it, and you can either accept it or reject it. But Trudeau didn't open up Canadian borders for immigration, you know, until the 70s. So that's how I see it, Barry. It is not as bad as it has been in the United States because Canada never had a civil war over racism. And the bondage of African Americans being thought of as property. So, you know, it's not that hard to understand. Sometimes I'm glad you reached out to me on this, but the direct correlation is if someone's born in the 50s or 60s and their parents were racist, you are going to see it in them. The fact that it is a core issue with Peters, because in a time of pressure and heat, that is what he went to scare a player and intimidate him. But yet and still, Calgary has not fired him yet.
And not only has Calgary not fired him yet, Butch, but you have to look at the organizations he's been with. And when you hear someone like a Rod Brind'Amour saying, yeah, we know what happened, we know what happened, and nothing was done about it. Someone like a Ron Francis, who was running Carolina at the time, you have to wonder, like, why was all this swept under the carpet for so long when this is something that was known within at least that dressing room back then? And if you hear Alou talking about it, you know, the players were all kind of like shaking their heads. They couldn't believe what they just heard. And yet there he was. You know, maybe he apologized at the time, but that's not a, that to me, that's not an offense that you just slap a guy on the wrist and say, okay, don't do it again. Right.
Well, the fact that it was never addressed goes to what I said, that the foundation of the minor league system in hockey has a huge element of segregation.
Now, he wrote out somewhat of an apology, and I read Alou's comments about the apology, and I agree with him 100%. When you read it, or have, if you have read it, what did you make of what Peter said, as opposed to just, well, I better write something to help clear my name for this?
First of all, Peter was told he had to write it. Why didn't he call the young man?
It's a great point. And he didn't, right? He doesn't even mention him by name in the apology.
Yeah, because I'd be willing to bet that there's another minority hockey player out there that he did it to. And that's why he left it open and generic.
Wow. You know, I heard an interview with Georges Laroque, and the person doing the interview with Laroque said, you know, can you maybe take the thought that he used to be that way and he's now apologized for it and maybe he's changed who he is? And Laroque's answer was, you know, if you call somebody an idiot or something like that, then maybe you can accept it. But when you use that word, you are a racist. And no apology is going to change the fact that's how he felt at the time and probably still feels.
Well, the issue is I'm not worried about how I felt. I go back to what I said. He was raised as a racist, right? And he got to an emotional state and went to the core of who he was as a person. So, you know, it's, hey, look, Barry, who has had to bear, all right? Richard Petty told the Canadian media that a black man named Butch Carter try to get the job of his boss. All right. It was impossible. It was already in my contract that they couldn't hire an assistant general manager without offering the job to me first. So why do I need Glenn's job? The Canadian media printed it prima facie without ever talking to me. Now we're looking at a guy that called a young man as bad as you can get. It is a direct threat to him, and he still got his job. And we're talking about, well, his statement. What's wrong with the statement was, why did, if he was sincere with it, all right, he just confirmed what you people means. He just confirmed, I'm part of the you people, and these guys are there trying to earn a living doing something that they love to do. The problem that I have is that they still have drawn a line that you cannot love hockey as much as us because your skin is a different color.
It's appalling and sad, Butch, because, I mean, you love living here in Canada. You've been here for a long time. And one of the beautiful things about it is how multicultural it is. And I was saying early on the show that I was raised and I've always lived by the fact that we're all people. And you know, the color of a skin does not determine what you can do for a living or what kind of a person you are. There are good people and there are bad people of every race. There are talented people of every race of any particular sport. And to me, it just, and again, as a white person, I'm in no position to make any claims to know what it feels like and what a black person has gone through. So when you see this, especially here in Canada, where we're supposed to be so much more open to different races, like you said, it's just, it's very bothersome to me.
Well, Barry, here, let's say you're very open to everything that's outside of hockey. Hockey is a separate nation here. It's controlled by male Anglos, and they have allowed this methodology to be there, and these stories need to come out. The stories aren't false. I credit the young man that it took him 10 years to come out and tell the truth. It happened to me when I was in the locker room at Indiana University. It does happen.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But what happens is that the money in the system is so large, they don't want it to tear down the system.
It's ridiculous. It really is, right, that it comes down to the money in the system.
That's what it's always been about. Barry, from the beginning of time, all right, let's look at this. From the beginning of time, all right, and as I've traveled all over the world, the one thing I learned at a very young age was that I thought racism was black and white, but I don't understand why Catholics and Protestants don't get along in Northern Ireland. All right. I didn't know that Chinese and Japanese historically have not gotten along because of the atrocities in World War II. All right.
Pakistan and India too.
So man has found a reason to dislike his fellow man from the beginning of time. It seems to be a natural instinct. But this wall that has been permeated, just like the Southeast Conference, Bear Bryant couldn't break the wall himself, so he invited USC to play at Alabama. And Sam Cunningham ran all over Bears Anglo players. And after the game, the Alabama boosters met with Bear and says, "Hey, we need to get us some Sam Cunninghams." But hockey, first of all, like soccer, you can control the game by one simple rule: offside. Offside neutralizes talent. So you can control the amount of athletic ability that comes into your sport by the offside call. You can control the amount of talent because you can make it a speed race. But no, you're saying, no, you can't cross that line until 1, 2, 3.
And then while hockey seems to be the sport where we're seeing the most of it, you were not immune to it when you were playing in Indiana. I mean, we've heard the stories of Bobby Knight. It's obvious that of what kind of a person he was when he coached there in Indiana. But as a guy that was a teammate, or you played for him, and let me ask you, how would you say a good majority of your teammates were black as well?
Yeah, we were a blend. I think if there were 13 or 14 scholarships, probably 8 were black, 6 were white.
Okay, and you're playing under Bobby Knight. And you would think, I mean, there might be this misconception of, well, since basketball is a sport dominated by black men, there probably isn't any racism. Tell us what it was like for you as a young black man playing under Bobby Knight and happen to hear what you heard.
Well, look, Barry, first of all, Indiana University was a great place for me to go because I wanted to graduate and be the first person in my family to graduate, right? The 2.5 hours we'd spend with Bob Knight were minute compared to my whole overall experience. I do not have a warm relationship with the university because of what Coach Knight did. That was never going to be that way because, as you know, I come from a large family that I'm very connected to. And getting my family out of the situation it was in was more important to me than anything Bob Knight could say or do. None of that was going to get in my path. The issue is that Indiana allowed Bob Knight to use their university to do bad things to young people. Neil Reed swore for years that he got choked in practice. Knight denied it until the video came out. The players that have supported those lies have left a black mark on the university, and it's a direct correlation of why Indiana University basketball has not been able to recruit the best black athletes, not only from the state of Indiana or the state of Illinois, in a very long time, because they allowed that university to be weaponized to take young black guys' lives apart. Indiana University had a long history of redshirting players so that they could play a fifth year. To my recollection, they never redshirted a black player. Knight redshirted only white players. And so there were guys who got to play 5 years, study 5 years, but never, in my recollection, has it ever been a minority player. So for any of the Indiana guys that know me, they won't be surprised about what I have to say, but what I have to say has always been factually correct. I was there, I heard it, and I knew that I had to rely on my work ethic in life. If I was wrong about what I heard or saw, all right, then why would two Indiana players, Isaiah and Grunwald, bring me to Toronto on the coaching staff, and then Grunwald hire me as the head coach? So this stuff goes on, and the guys who are in there would prefer that you never say anything. But this young man should be given a job by the NHL for bringing out what Peters did. Why has Peters been allowed to maintain and earn a living for his family, and this young man is left outside to be iced out?
Exactly. I mean, you think back, Butch, you were able to achieve what you wanted to achieve in spite of what you had to deal with. But how many of your teammates were just, you know, maybe shattered or just, you know, poisoned with what he was spewing out to the point where it affected them? And maybe they could have gone on to much better careers, but Bobby Knight ruined them.
Well, the issue is that what I always felt bad for was that the kids who were from the state of Indiana, because the Indiana kids were going to stay after basketball and work there, and they would have to live and laugh and smile like all these things didn't happen so that they could be employed. So we're dealing with the same thing you're talking about with Peters. This kid had to endure it as long as possible so he could pursue what he loved to do, which was play hockey. He comes out and tells the truth. And the other players clearly have validated it. So the other players had the courage 10 years later to admit what was going on, it was wrong. The players who have witnessed all the bad stuff at Indiana have been cowards and not been willing to admit. And I can't imagine that, like I said, if they were born in the 50s or 60s, most likely their parents could have been. They didn't have to be, but they could have been racist. And they raised a racist family. If that wasn't true, why is Donald Trump president?
Yeah, that's a great question. Butch, when this was going on and you were playing, I mean, if it was something that Knight directed at you that was racist, how would your teammates react to it? Specifically, was there a difference in the way your black teammates reacted to it than how your white teammates reacted to it?
Well, look, all young men are surprised when the N-word is thrown out in the locker room, regardless of color. That's not what you think you went to a Big Ten school for.
Right.
Right? So, you know, in my opinion, I'd much rather hear it, all right, than them think it and never tell me and manipulate my life.
Right.
Without me knowing that that's, you know, that that's their mindset. Right. Coaching is hard. Coaching at the top level to win is hard. You know, Barry, as you've heard me say many a time, I don't understand why people go into coaching when they make a lot of bad decisions for their family. Because in every league, every conference, professional sport, half the games are going to be lost. Hockey's a little different because of the point system. But half the games are going to be lost. And coaches say, well, I'm just going to take the job. Most of them are doing it because they're not qualified to do anything else. When you hire someone that's not qualified to take a job doing anything else, that is a dangerous situation because they will do anything to stay in that job. And that's what you consistently see now in professional sports. And what happens is because half the games are lost, so the kids that are losing, they're not going to have as good a chance to move up and enjoy it because the direction of the team was a bigger problem than the actual team. So not only was Peter, did this guy say this, the other statements have now come out that he was abusive on the bench.
And that's the thing, as players, I think that there's a fear. And, like, you know, going back to you, I mean, you look back now and, you know, some may think, well, why didn't all the players on Indiana go to somebody higher above Bobby Knight and get him fired? But it wouldn't have worked that way, would it?
Who are you going to go to? The president was at practice half the time licking his boots. You go out to play Kentucky and your pregame speech was from the governor. So Knight was a brilliant politician.
Wow. See, you guys there was nothing you guys could do about it, right?
No.
I mean,
Yeah, so, you know, it's the issue at the end of the day is, you know, again, I never thought I'd be a professional basketball player, but there were guys in that locker room that that's all they wanted to be. So, you know, there's a really bad track record that if you transfer and get into the pros, it reduces your value. So you end up, you know, you got to stick it out.
After all these years, Butch, did Bobby Knight ever make an attempt to reach out to you and acknowledge what he did?
I've always said, you know, coach is a coward. Yeah. All right. He did it. All right. And then he went around lying to cover it up. So that's what I said. You know, when the Neil Reed thing came out, like, you know, like, not surprised.
And there is part one with former Toronto Raptors head coach Butch Carter. Wow, that was an intense part one. And we get even just as heated in part two, where we get more into the coaching tactics of Mike Babcock, of how to motivate players without being physical or belittling them, and what his philosophy was when dealing with kids. We'll also find out if Butch thinks that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, if he thinks that things are going to improve. And you'll be very fascinated when you hear part two. If you'd like to access part two, as we tell you each and every week, we'd love you to become a member of the Out of the Park Club. All you have to do is go to nsrmedia.ca. You'll find a tab there that says become a member for as little as $3 US a month, and you can go up to $5 or whatever really you want. You can access just hundreds of part twos that we have, as well as get early access to part ones, have the ability to submit questions when we have an advance notice of a player coming on the show. We'll also have prizes to give away. And most importantly for us, folks, it does help support this show. It helps finance it. It does cost money for us to put this show on. And while we love the sponsors we have, we need more to keep this thing going. So anything you can do to help would be just wonderful.
Your votes have been tabulated. Time now for Barry's Fair or Foul poll results.
This week's Out of the Park poll is brought to you by aglaw.ca. Visit aglaw.ca if you are in trouble with the law.
And guess what? We finally reunite with Adam Goodman and Scott Cowan. And boy, oh boy, it's been a while since we've done a new show.
In the same room?
Yes. We have a lot of things that we're going to address. Obviously, the Bill Peters situation, we will be doing something on that.
Yeah.
Sandusky situation that he's You know, there are a lot of things going on. It seems they come in bunches, and they are definitely coming in bunches now.
They seem to be magnetic, don't they?
Uh-huh.
They just attract each other.
So for those of you who have been waiting for a new episode of Out of the Court, stand by. It's coming up. Hopefully we'll have it all posted for you on Monday.
This week's Out of the Park poll was, which of these young Blue Jays should the team be unwilling to trade for a top rotation starter?
Yeah, unfortunately, they're probably willing to get to trade any of them.
Yeah, that's true enough. Here's your four options. Number one, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Number two, Kevin Biggio. Number three, Ryan Barucki. And number four, other, please name. And with 55%,
the Lourdes Blue Jay, Gurriel, right?
The Blue Jay that they should be unwilling to trade for a top of the rotation starter, Kevin Biggio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know what? He's the one that you said
singled out
would be the one that you probably would want to trade.
I would be,
I agree with them. Although I probably would put Lourdes Gurriel ahead. I think Lourdes Gurriel is a much more valuable asset for the team. I don't know. It could be even. But either way,
I think it would have to depend on the return.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. If the Jays are going to make a splash, they're not going to do it via free agency. They're going to have to do it via trade. And the only way to make a big deal is to trade one of these kids. It's unfortunate, but that's what you got to do to get pitching. So
I agree.
Well, Matt, thank you, as always, for being a part of the show. Unfortunately, you were not available for when we spoke to Butch Carter, but I'm sure you're enjoying listening to this as much as everyone else is. Reminder, part two can be heard on Wednesday's Members Only podcast, and we've got some great guests coming up in the following weeks, folks, including former Toronto Blue Jay and current World Series winner, Yan Gomes. He'll be joining us on a future episode as well. We're also looking, hopefully, to get Nicky Huffman before Christmas, if not, then early into the new year. Matt, thanks as always for everything you do on your part. And for all of you listening, thank you so much for making us a part of your week.
You've been listening to Out of the Park with Barry Davis. Thanks for joining us. Get home safely and see you next time.